Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod on a very rainy, windy day in Manchester. Yes, it's summer. My feet are so cold, I might have to wear three pairs of socks. And I had to chase a tarpaulin as it blew down the road from my house today. Welcome to summer. How's the weather in Kansas? Mel?
Beautiful and sunny.
Oh, well, have you been swimming today?
80 degrees. No swimming today.
And Adam is a mere 30 or so miles from me, I would imagine.
30? Where are you?
I don't know. How far away are you? 20 miles?
I don't know. It depends where you are.
In my house.
In your house.
Adam, you sound
in South Manchester.
That's
correct. Where you think you are.
I'm pretty certain I'm still in my house, which is about 16 miles away from yours.
There we go.
I reckon. That's my guess. Maybe 15. Maybe 12.
I'm going to go serious for a second. Sorry to do this. Adam works in a building next to the Manchester Arena, basically, and you'd commute in and out of town quite a lot. How's it felt in the city centre? Well, you know, give us the short answer. How's it felt in the city centre this week?
Actually, very much back to normal,
yeah.
Back to business.
Yeah.
Last week was weird. I came into town on the Wednesday, and it's strange going to a place where you normally park and find it. Oh yeah, of course, there's a police cordon around this, and I'll have to walk a mile out of my way past all these normally familiar places, and everyone's just carrying flowers and is quiet. And I think everyone saw what an awesome reaction it was in the city. And over the last couple of weeks, everyone's very much been cracking on.
Did either of you watch the Benefit concert?
No.
I watched as much as I could stand of it being a terrible music snob, which was about four or five songs that I thought, oh, they're on it.
What, from the start?
She's a good girl. Came in somewhere near the middle.
Because I tell you, if you'd watched it from the start, you'd have witnessed Robbie Williams, and it was the single worst performance I've ever seen in my life. It was horrific.
No one mentioned that.
It was horrific. And but other than that, it was just a beautiful thing. And seeing, I think, the Ariana Grande, and just seeing that she is just a young girl, and she obviously, the word sorry seemed to be on the edge of her lips. She just seemed to kind of blame herself, and she's there in front of this crowd doing her best to try and apologise, really, and connect with them. And it was just so beautiful for that reason. And really, really showed people, you know, how you almost couldn't pick a more defenceless, innocent group of people to attack, you know. So it was really lovely, and I cried all the way through, apart from Robbie Williams, at which point I wondered how on earth he keeps getting put on events. Anyway, well done, Robbie, for taking part. Good on you.
The concert did appear to use up Manchester's entire quota of summer.
Yeah, it did. It was beautiful.
That was it. All our daylight sunshine hours were used up on that day for the benefit of those people in the TV audience. And now it's winter again.
Anyway, onwards. Let's get to, speaking of TV, let's talk about Big Little Lies, which is a TV series that was currently available on Now TV in Britain. Where do you get it in Mel? Where do you get it in America, Mel?
HBO.
Of course, it's an HBO show. And boy, does it need to be, because the budget on this must be huge. The cast alone must set them back tens of millions, I'd imagine.
That was a big budget cast, a big budget production. It was, and you could see it.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I'm sorry, I've just forgotten to mention a nice email that we got on the subject of frequency from last week. Kyle emailed, I think he's from Massachusetts, Kyle. He said the CW filmed an extra epilogue for frequency to properly wrap things up in case the show did not return. And And Kyle, I hope you excuse me for having a look at your email address because I always try and snoop on people.
Wait, I know what it is.
No reruns. Yeah, it is.
I know Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
You know Kyle.
I do know Kyle.
Wow, that's awesome. Yep. Have you spoken to him in the face?
Yep. We go to Comic Con. We're at Comic Con each year together.
Oh my God! Will he be listening to this podcast because of you, or do you think this is an unbelievable coincidence?
No, I mentioned it to him, so I know that he had heard about it through me. Okay. We call him Front Row Kyle.
Yeah.
Because now he manages to get to the front of the line for everything.
Well, there you go. NoReruns.net. Check it out. Jamie's joined us now. He's late to the party today because he's been
on
the living room floor. Jamie, how far through Big Little Lies are you?
Finish the whole shebang.
Oh, dear. Well, then we have no guinea pig this week because we've all watched the whole thing.
No way. Was Matt not our guinea pig? Or
Matt didn't get a chance to watch it. I thought Marsha might be coming back, but she shafted us as usual.
Yeah, you've had her once, so...
So there we go. So let's all
we've all watched it.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't watched it, we will talk about Big Little Lies without any spoilers. If we are going to do spoilers...
You know what? Well, let's just screw it. Let's just do one from the point of view of people who've watched it and their thoughts on the whole thing.
Well, let's just do...
Do a spoiler one.
Let's do 5 minutes for anyone who hasn't, and then do it like that, just in case you want to know whether to watch it. First of all, I would like to say, yes, you should watch it. It's very good. Adam, do you agree?
I do. Oh, this is going to be a short one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mel, do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And Jamie?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Okay, let's try and find a general reason each to criticise it. I will say this, right? It is.
Hang on. Do we want to do a setup or something first?
Okay.
The synopsis. Let's not throw all the rules out.
Well, it's an all-female cast almost. Pretty much every man in it is a douchebag. Let's ask Mel to.
No spoilers.
Set it up for us, Mel.
All right. I've got to differentiate here because I read the book. So this is. Let's see. The TV show is set in Santa Monica or Monterey. Yes,
Monterey. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's set in Monterey, which is a beautiful kind of elite beachside community. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, on the surface, it's about moms and, you know, the perfect mom. And what it's actually about is what's going on in each of their homes that we don't know about and their own wishes and desires and struggles and how that all kind of interweaves and feed off each other, and you know they also comfort each other. I just really thought it was a pretty good depiction of women, modern female relationships.
Yeah,
and even though it was particularly... set in this sort of, at first you think it's going to be a whole yummy mummies, you know, kind of snarky,
desperate housewife sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's it's really a lot deeper than that.
Yes, it is. So that's the setup, and in fact, more of a setup right at the beginning. You know that something has happened. Somebody has been murdered, and we don't know who did that. And the whole series is going to... It's a whodunit.
Yeah, well, it's a whodunit. Who they did it to as well, because you don't know who died either. You know, somebody died, but you don't know who, and you don't know who did it.
That's right.
You guys think about that, where you go in and you know that someone's dead, but you don't know who it is.
I like that. I thought, in fact, that was one of the things I really liked about it, was that you didn't know either things. You didn't know who'd caused this or who was actually dead from the group of protagonists.
Yeah, it got around my issues with whodunits in a way because of that, because it was like, well, clearly this is not going to be what it's about. But at the same time... My criticism of it still is twofold. One, the episodes are very long, and like with all whodunits, there came a point. There were times when I went, "Oh, come on, get on with it," and it can go on a bit. And also that a slightly it's an all female. It's a very strong female cast, and we're saying, "Isn't this great?" and everything. I thought it was kind of a shame that it was Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and a bunch of very, very top famous actresses. Part of me wished that we could have an all-female cast, which also gave opportunity to actors that you perhaps don't see as much. The whole thing, in a way, could be accused of this, of being a little bit like Monterey, you know, super rich people playing parts of super rich, spoiled white people and their problems.
Are you serious, Hal? This is your criticism? That,
well,
the top talent of a generation got incredible roles in an outstanding miniseries?
Yeah,
that's
it
your
is.
Critique?
It is, because we...
That's like, a pretty poor criticism.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a separate criticism, like a bit... We mentioned Ben's criticism last week of The Night Porter, which is the same thing of
Manager.
Going... Night Manager, sorry. His criticism there, I think, that I kind of agree with, is that a little bit like with Premiership football, if the people making TV have to spend more and more tens and tens and tens of millions in order to tell a great story, then the playing field becomes very difficult for new talent and stuff. But this is purely a kind of a talent industry argument rather than us as consumers, who are definitely in a golden age of TV. I just wonder whether that golden age of TV explodes at the point that you need Wall Street to fund the story. Do you know what I mean?
All right, I'm going to jump back in here. Did you realize that Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman were producers?
I did realize that, which is great.
Okay, so this wouldn't have gotten made if they weren't involved.
Yeah, and we're seeing more of that as well. But it's the same thing. It's who will the bankers fund? And it was like Brad Pitt produced the thingy, the OA, and a few other things. Mm-hmm.
So it got made, which paves the way. And in this case, we have these two very talented women who took these roles, but they also took producer roles so that this could actually get made, which then became a critical and viewer hit.
Good for it.
And it's going to win all the Emmys.
Yeah.
Which then makes other networks and studios more likely to greenlight future projects that have strong female casts that maybe have lesser known people.
That's where we disagree. Mm-hmm. I think it makes studios more inclined to say, okay, we need to get Sandra Bullock back to star in this next thing.
I think it would be more of a problem if the show stank, mm-hmm, and was still making money. Then that would be an issue. But they've clearly worked with good directors, good script writers. There's a really strong cast throughout. Yeah, a lot of them are big. You know, Adam Scott and Alexander Skarsgård aren't, you know, struggling sort of newbies or anything like that. But there's a really good cast throughout. The kids are all really good.
I
would argue that it gave Zoe Kravitz a spotlight that
yes.
she wouldn't have had otherwise. And
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Shailene Woodley, too. Give her a pivot for her career.
Yeah,
she's not a megastar name or anything like that, is she? And she's great.
Yeah, I think it's more, I understand Ben's argument, the industry argument, which is also the argument I'm making, not just Ben, in case I'm quoting him out of context, but is just that thing of, we are in a golden age of TV, and Netflix do this all the time. It's part of the reason we love Netflix, is that they chuck money at creative projects, but they are chucking money more and more at creative projects that are already super famous, surefire, like definite winners. So it's great for them. It's almost like my answer would be, how could this not have been great? Like, if you put that much mm-hmm. money and that talent towards it, it has to be great. So we almost need to hold
well,
it to a higher
standard. Well, then you're talking about all of the DC Universe movies up until this
I
past
am.
Weekend.
100%.
Which yeah. were all... are terrible, and they threw hundreds of millions of dollars at them.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, good point.
So it's not money doesn't mean money and talent don't mean it's going to be a hit.
No,
or even any good.
That's true.
And that's
I'm going to disagree with you here, Howell. I think
and I agree.
These are projects that have to happen so that they can take risks later on.
And the thing is, with producers, is that they need to be convinced. They need to be convinced by the stars have to come in and go, oh, this material's good. You can make stuff that is very much female driven, but is, you know, okay, has these stars in it, and that's what gives them that safety net. But at the same time, you're getting stories told that haven't been, you know, that, okay, it's rich people's stories, but it's still like from these female perspectives.
I mean,
in a very kind of
I mean, I guess none of us were complaining when if Kevin Spacey's a producer on House of Cards and that's getting made because of his name and his money.
Well, I'm not complaining about
people
it.
People with sort of integrity and a decent track record can get film shows made. But Netflix are also funding plenty of smaller name shows as well.
Right.
I don't think that any
like
talent is suffering.
I am not saying. They could bring in Stranger Things because Winona Ryder signed on.
I get
and
that.
No one else was a name.
I get that. I am not saying that these things shouldn't be made. I'm saying that how can they... That now that we are at this place, now that we're at a place where they've realised that you don't just chuck money at a star and throw anyone else in, the whole team has to be great. Now we're at that place. When we're critiquing things like this and The Night Manager, which we might do, I think there is it really has to be held up to high standards because how can it not fail with that team, you know?
We've seen it fail over and over.
And in a lot of ways, big projects like this, I almost go in more cynical. Like, I think I went into watching this quite cynical of, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman, and it's, you know, it's made by the guy who did Ally McBeal, and it's, you know, it's clearly a big super project. But, and then it turned out to be brilliant. So, like, you know, it's one of those things where your perception can be actually negative if you know that all these big Hollywood names are attached to it as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I'd agree. I've probably got higher expectations, and we probably are holding it up to quite a harsh light. It's pretty rare that even on this podcast you'll get something where four of us are all just straight away saying we like a show. Mm-hmm. To get slightly away, back to something you said before, to get slightly away from the whole funding thing, like one of the things is that you can just do with a Netflix show, you can do as many episodes as you need to do. You said you thought they were a little bit long. I thought the fact there were only 7 episodes made this really well paced.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's not network TV. I thought it would have suffered if it was 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Then it would have really been stretching. I thought it absolutely nailed the pace across the 7 episodes of it.
Yeah,
and in a way, it's quite like a brave thing to go, not follow, we've got to have at least 12 episodes, or we've got to have this many. We're just going, actually, this is what the story requires.
This is as long as it takes to tell the story.
Exactly, yeah.
How do you think that this does something? I have seen I'm not saying that this has been publicised as a kind of feminist project that should be held up in that way. It might have been, but I imagine it has been in some places. But Mel, does this do something new in that world, do you think, that Sex and the City and Orange is the New Black and things doesn't do?
I think it does, just in the sense that it's a different demographic.
Very
rich, white
people.
It's a different group
of
women that we're talking about. Well, it's moms. We're talking about moms here. Orange is the New Black is not about mothers. Mm-hmm. Sex and the City is... well, eventually about mothers, but not in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's about single women. And in this case, these are all moms who, most of them are rich, but remember, Jane is not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The single mom.
Yeah.
She's not wealthy.
She's reasonably wealthy because she can live in Monterey, can't she?
She's renting a dump of a house.
Yeah,
I love it, by those standards, that's a dump.
It's
I mean, she's sleeping on a fold-out couch in the living room, and her son has the only bedroom.
Yeah.
She's scraping by to be there so that her son can get that school.
There were just a couple of bits. If we're coming into criticism, there were just a couple of bits where I thought, oh, they've explained a couple of little plot things away a little bit too easily, like, you know, how they get Ziggy, her son, to be at that school with all these wealthy families. They say they have to make a point of, oh, it's basically a private school, but it's a public school, so that's where everyone has to move here. And they don't go into too much about how she sort of got there, but they do, I suppose, point out that she's a freelance sort of accountant, isn't she? So she's got skills and all that. But it just seemed like a little bit like they went out of the way to make, oh yeah, why would this kid be at school with all these kids? Let's just
It is a public school. I mean, you're there based on geography. It's not. Yeah. There's no sort of admissions test or tuition or anything like that. It's geography.
I have to say,
explained a little bit more in the book. There's more of her back. You know how she got there and kind of her struggle with being in this community when she grew up, blue collar, but she's trying to do what's best for her son.
Okay. Let's leave. Let's ask anyone who hasn't watched the series to leave us now and join us next week so that we can stray into territory. But I loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Without one of the plots, which we're going to talk about next, without one of the plots, I would be sat here saying, this is just rich white women's problems, just like I could be watching lots of rich white men's problems, and I could be criticising it for that. But the plot that I'm talking about is so central to it and becomes more and more central. So if at first you watch it and have any kind of, oh, it's just Reese Witherspoon having a bad hair day, arguing with Laura Dern, stick with it, because it just gets more and more gripping the further into it you get. That's if you are as cynical as me.
I would say if you've not watched it and you're going to leave us before we hit spoilers, watch it. Don't be put off by that sort of Desperate Housewives, Sex and the City sort of rich people's problems. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like Jamie said a couple of times, terrible things in beautiful places, which is kind of a theme of shows like Bloodline and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think the performances are brilliant. The soundtrack is amazing from the off. There's lots. Yeah. I was not expecting to like it.
Yeah, I love the song they use as well for the theme
Michael Kiwanuka.
Yeah, that's great.
Brilliant. That's a great album.
But I mean, even like, I feel like even the petty disputes were like enjoyable as well. Like, I actually was surprised that I enjoyed the sort of like bickering between sort of mums. I thought that was actually sort of enjoyable, even though, you know, I didn't relate to these rich sort of women in some respects, but.
The best example of that kind of relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it must exist everywhere, and the grotesqueness of it, and the pressure that they must feel, that mums must feel at the school gate and stuff. I just couldn't go anywhere near that shit. I mean, it would drive me insane. Mel, final pitch to anyone who is leaving us.
I think maybe you come for the possibility that it's going to be chick lit, frothy, and you stay because these women are all very complicated and you want to know who dies and why.
Very good. Okay, so switch off now, because within 10 seconds of me saying this, I'm going to say something that spoils it, and I mean it. The next thing out of my mouth is going to spoil it. Turn off your podcast now.
Bye.
So, domestic abuse.
Yes.
Without that plot, it occurred to me more and more while we were watching it, and certainly once you've seen the end, that is what it is about. That's the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there, it is relevant to lots of people around the world in all sorts of walks of life. And I think up until that point, I really was on the slightly cynical verge of Desperate Housewives. I feel sorry for people who feel like this, but also those houses they live in are worth $50 million each.
Oh, I know.
And then she goes and buys her. I'll just go and rent a flat. Oh yeah, what's this apartment going to look like? Oh, it's on the water, half an hour from San Francisco. Probably worth $48 million, I would imagine. I was going to say something really inappropriate then, and I won't. Something along the lines of what I would take for a flat like that, but we won't go down. wow, isn't it phenomenal?
Nicole Kidman in it does an amazing job, like that performance by her in that role. And also, like, you know, me and Lauren watch a lot of stuff together. Whenever we watch stuff with therapists in, because Lauren's a therapist, she always hates it and always criticizes it. Mm. And this is one of the few shows where she's gone, oh, this is a really good example of how a therapist would handle this situation and go about coaxing the Nicole Kidman, the person who's being beaten, to reveal the truth gradually over time. So that's a really good performance and sort of delivery of that plot.
And Kidman in those scenes is brilliant.
Yeah.
You can really sort of see her struggling with what to say, how much she's trying to kid herself. And you know, you don't entirely know how much she believes what she's saying, and you begin to think maybe she is right. You know, it really keeps you sort of swinging which way you're going to feel about that relationship.
I didn't think she was right at all. I was like, get the fuck out now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think your instinct is to tell her to run.
That's kind of the beauty of the series, though, is that you have to look at it through her eyes and say, but why isn't she getting out now? What's keeping her there? And that's because so many times that's the problem with domestic violence. You know, it's so easy to say, well, why didn't you just leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that's the power of, because we've all heard that before. You know, we have mm-hmm. all heard about how people understandably keep themselves locked into relationships and that are destructive. But at the same time, I think one of the powerful things about this series is it shows the whole argument. So if somebody is watching it, you cannot watch it without ending up shouting at her, get out of there. Even if you are going through that, I would imagine. So it's like, okay. It's a bit like if you were to sit down with a racist person and instead of just calling them racist, asking them why they think all their things and going through evidence by evidence basis. Mm-hmm. You know, if you did it like that, maybe at the end of the conversation they go, oh yes, I recognize that I'm racist. In the same way, this form of denial, they really do go through all of the logic, can only lead you to go, okay, so if you've got all of that logic going around in your head, you are her. And if you're shouting at her to get out, you know, don't do it.
Yeah.
Which is, it was just great. There was one thing I fucking hated about this series. Really fucking hated. Whoa. And I wonder if you did. I loved the end. I loved the murder. I loved them on the beach playing with each other. I fucking hated the watching through the binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
The setting up of season
two. Did feel like a really gratuitous setup for season two.
It feels like it was there purely as a setup. And number two, actually, if you were to say to them, this can only be one series, they would never have them in because it undermines the righteousness of what they did. What they did mm-hmm. is right. And then us as viewers are supposed to then go to this fucking Columbo land of going, are they all criminals?
I mean, Mel, you've read the book. Is there a second book or does it like continue within the book onto, no, so there's no like...
There's a different scene. The book ends on a different scene.
Does it have binoculars? Does it have this same
It sense? Does not. Right. Though, although the detective is still, well, here's the thing. In the book, the murderer turns himself in.
Okay.
To the police. Yes. Even though the women all lie, we're in spoiler territory, so I can say it. Mm-hmm. Even though the women all lie for Bonnie, she turns herself in and explains she was abused by her father.
Right. Well, this is series two. I think you may have just spoiled series two.
Well, I don't know if that's what they decided to do. That's the reason that she has that expression on her face when she sees Celeste and Perry and how they're interacting. You know, that's the first time she's seen them together, but as a victim of abuse herself and someone who watched her father, I mean, she grew up in a home of, you know, domestic violence. And so she knows what she's seeing.
Mel.
And that PTSD is triggered and that's why she pushes him. But right. she Mel, turns herself.
What percentage of the book is left once the murder has actually happened? Once we find out what's happened?
There's about a chapter.
So all of that happens in a chapter, you just said.
After the murder?
Yeah.
She goes and turns herself in. And then our final scene is Celeste speaking at a conference about domestic violence, sharing her story.
I think that series two is going to be that chapter stretched out. I think you have just spoiled not just series one, but series two.
I mean, the book's been out for years, so...
There's not much of Bonnie's backstory, is there, around that, her background in that series, is there at all?
Well, there's not in the book either. It's not till the very end, the book is structured the same way, where we don't know who died or why. Although you kind of start getting an idea of who it is.
You know what's interesting?
Well, you know who wanted to be, that's for sure.
Yeah. What was interesting was you spend the first few episodes playing the guessing game of who it's going to be. And when you first see him beating up Nicole Kidman, you think, you think, oh, well, it won't be him. Like, or even,
it's too
well,
obvious,
it's
right?
too obvious it's going to be him. They wouldn't do that. By the time you've seen him beat her up like 10 times, you're going, please let it be him. Please let it be him. And that's what's really
but
interesting
as well. Who
would
have thought it'd be Bonnie that does it?
Well, like, I guessed it. I guessed it.
No, you did not.
I did. Oh. I did. I guessed it. Yep. Yep.
How could you guess Bonnie? Because she had no relevance to that plot line until the very final episode and the very final 10 minutes.
Her sole purpose was to irritate Madeline.
I didn't know who she was going to kill, but I knew it would be her. Because in the same way that you guessed the killer of Broadchurch on episode one, because it's the it's the person of least consequence who is still, you know, in the main thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we.
See,
I think
it might be Celeste who finally just snapped and.
It's all too obvious. Too obvious.
It's kind of what you want, isn't it? But
yeah.
Well, yeah. But we also saw her in some of those. You know, she provoked. She purposely provoked some of that violence because there's a part of her. It's not one-sided. It's not completely one-sided. You know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, it is a really nuanced character, but they really sort of get the balance right. Was anyone else, did anyone else really call really early the fact that Skarsgård's character, what's he called, Perry, was the attacker?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I never, no, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, so I think my wife actually said that in episode two. Like,
really?
First time you see Jen being attacked, then
she beat me to it.
Another violent male character, and you think, yeah, that's going to come back.
Yeah, second flashback.
That's actually why
that's
I picked
I
up the book. That's when I decided to read the book, is because I was like, it's got to be Perry. It has to be Perry.
Oh, so you picked up the book after you'd started watching the series?
Yeah.
To spoil it for yourself. Oh,
well,
man.
I wasn't going to have access to HBO
sly.
For a few weeks. Yeah, I wasn't going to have access to HBO for a few weeks. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to read the book because I can't wait to find out what's happening.
Mel,
you
could have
just read the Wikipedia page.
No, you really need to read the novel.
That's what Mel normally does. She reads the bloody episode synopsis, don't you?
I do sometimes. I do that with Game of Thrones.
Hashtag sneaky Mel. Well, it was just brilliant, and I'm glad that he got killed. So I think that it's fair to murder anyone who commits domestic violence. I think that's fine.
It's genuinely annoying, though, that they are going to do a second series. Because although I would like to see very good characters.
They haven't 100%. I mean, they haven't greenlit.
Well, it'll be hard to get those actresses all together in the same spot for a while. I imagine that'll be the issue there. But I can see it's probably done really well on HBO. And
are you kidding?
I can't imagine.
Monterey's like 5 hours drive from LA and like an hour from San Francisco. Hey, would you like to not have to go around the world on film shoots that last a year and just go to Monterey for a few weeks and get paid a shit?
Hell
out of
the money. Script.
Yeah.
But it's a shame because like at the moment it's a perfect piece of like drama. It doesn't need to go away. We don't need to see it continue for another five series.
That's why I hate
it. Really, I don't.
Should we make a pact not to watch a second series if there is one?
Oh, please.
No.
It's good enough for us to never watch. Well, of course, you'll just read it.
The thing is, now that they've looked through the binoculars, I'm like, I'm going to have to watch series two because they have to redeem themselves in my eyes. They ruined the whole thing for me with that. It really made me angry. I was like, no!
I actually liked it. It was so jarring from the rest of the way the show looked.
Yeah.
The way it played out, but just the entire way it was shot, you know, sort of. I loved the use of running. The use of running and music as a way to get away from it. Like, if there's a criticism, occasionally the script was a little, just a little like, oh, I'm not fulfilled by being a mum, I should go back to work. Like, some of those scenes were just a little slow, and then it would swap around and get that ability to get you inside someone's head by showing just the run, just the therapeutic nature of running and angry music.
Yeah.
And the way it changed the pace of the editing to really get you inside the head of a character who is not part of that. Talking,
I really liked.
She was superb, and then go on.
So and I really like the gossiping, the way they did the interviews with the, you know, members of the community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that David E. Kelly clearly, like, he's, you know, he had a lot of wit in Ally McBeal, and you can see that he used a lot of devices to sort of bring that out with the kind of perception of these characters. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant. It's really, and it adds a little lighter touch at times because it's quite a heavy subject matter.
Well, I thought that
because there's that one woman who's, it's all about her, like. Someone's dead, and it's all about her.
I think the thing that jarred for me with that, though, the only thing that jarred for me was that the main cast, all of the main cast, are so beautiful. Like, they are so gorgeous people.
Seriously? And is this also your complaint that it was all top talent?
No, that the other talent you then have really look like normal people who are part of the same community. And I was like, I'm buying that they are the kind of people who actually live in Monterey. Those ones that just look so different. It was like pasting a picture of me into the middle of it.
Yeah. But again, there's even the things that one of her characters interviewed sort of says, yeah, I'd do either of them. Like, they are there. Yeah. The people interviewed are gossiping about these people because they are the beautiful people in the beautiful people town. Exactly. And it's great how all those characters, which you have all the way throughout, and you think these are going to be the clues for who's done what to who, they know nothing. They are utterly, utterly pointless. Yeah. They are a red herring throughout, making you think it's going to be a who done what, when actually their input is just, it doesn't matter at all. And again, I think that's a beautifully constructed little diversion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That adds lightness.
It's also a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah.
Right? It gives you a little bit of a chance to breathe, and because that exists in the book as well.
Yeah. Good.
That structure, that.
Right. Okay. I thought they might have that might have been something that was added.
Well, in which case I like it more, because then it's knowingly saying these are super rich white people with problems, you know. Mm-hmm. It's in fact the people of color were all in those shots, weren't they? Apart from Lenny Kravitz's daughter, who is Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Well, great stuff. Good. I think that's it. I think we've dealt with it.
Really? You think you've got everything you need out of that?
I think so. All right. What have we missed, Mel? Have we missed anything?
I mean, there's just so much to talk about as far as there's just it's rich. It's a very rich series. There's a lot to talk about and continue talking about. I mean, you've got the
talked about the men,
how the women. We haven't talked about the men. We haven't talked about being a single mom in that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic. I've interviewed him a couple of times when he was on True Blood.
And I think
we saw that, you know, he had potential that they never quite figured out what to do with on True Blood. And this
he was a straight out funny or scary character in that, wasn't he? And like I liked True Blood.
He was the hunk. That's all. He was just the hunk. And in this one, he was an actual person.
I
think it was great how the male characters are almost like given these really petty little scores that they're settling in their own little world, aren't they? Like the Elvis competition and
that was funny.
Yeah, and Adam Scott, I thought, you know, I've not seen him in a kind of more serious role before, and I thought he was good as a sort of like the husband who feels unloved, and it's just they're just very nice,
a
kind of
neglected.
Like yeah, and you ultimately come away thinking about, you know, they're all just the kind of troubles are meaningless to like what these main female protagonists are kind of dealing with and the situation that they develop into. Mm. It's just really, I really like that.
Yeah.
I thought the kids were brilliant as well. I mean, there's some great performances, like from the kid, the young boy who was the product of rape, forgotten his name.
Ziggy.
Now, but
Ziggy.
He was amazing, and the daughter of Reese Witherspoon was just brilliant.
Abigail. Chloe? Oh, Chloe was the younger one, wasn't she?
Yeah, I
think so.
In the book, there's a little boy, too, but apparently he didn't make the cut for the TV show. I don't want to keep going back and comparing to the book, because a lot of the book is on screen, but there's one change that they made that irritated the crap out of me, and that is that in the book, Madeline does not have an affair. The thing with the Avenue Q play, she doesn't put that on.
Oh,
I mean, she's stressed about work, but it's not because it's Avenue Q, and she does not have an affair.
So what work does she do then?
Very strong.
What does she do?
She gets involved in everyone else's business.
Right.
That's pretty much.
Does she have a job in the book then?
From other people, huh?
Does she have a job in the book then?
Yeah, she does. She works at the theater, like she does on the show, and she is stressed about work and getting this play, you know, marketing this play and everything, but it's not Avenue Q. She's not having to go, you know, in front of the city council and defend her play or anything like that. All of Madeline's drama comes from other people. It's not anything she herself is doing. And it's also, I mean, she's choosing to put herself in those other stories, but, you know, she and Ed, they actually have a really good relationship. She does have to grow a little bit as far as her relationship with her ex and Bonnie, but...
Well, I'd like that. That did actually annoy me a little bit there. I did feel a little bit like that was a little bit done before, you know.
I don't really know why it needed to be there.
It'll be because of people like me. It'll be because of people like me saying this is just rich white people's problems. Then what are their problems? They live in a really nice house and she's a bit bored. Like, that's it. There's not a lot of TV.
Well, then her daughter tries to auction off her virginity, so there's that.
Yeah, there's that. They could have done that earlier. That was hilarious.
It actually lasts a lot longer in the book.
That's a great scene at the meal they have where she starts vomiting Reese with the spoon. I mean, that's really hilarious.
Yeah.
And I did this one. We guessed who was actually bullying the girl. We guessed it was one of the twins.
So did I.
I did quite early on. Mm-hmm. I did not guess that early on.
Yeah, it was bound to be.
I mean, but that's when we talked at the very beginning about domestic violence and, you know, yelling at Celeste, get out, why are you staying? It took finding out that her son was mimicking his father for her to finally make the decision.
That's right, because of primary.
It's that idea, isn't it?
Stick with the kids for the kids, stick together for the kids.
Yeah, and it's that idea, isn't it, that it did really well with, like, the idea that you think you're hiding it, you think you're somehow hiding it from the kids, that they're not seeing it, and it's just well covered and disguised, and it seeps into the. Either they have witnessed it or subconsciously they picked up on things within the relationship of the parents, and it's just, I thought that was really well done, that. And it was nice the way her character reacted when she realised it was her son who was the bully. Like, she kind of doesn't go over and go, how can you do this? She's sort of very kind of like, oh, it's all right, I know. I know why you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, Jamie's parenting.
I know, you're talking to my dad now.
He really is, yeah. That empathy was just rolling out there. That's beautiful.
Jeez.
Well,
see, we had another 10 minutes to talk about.
Well,
there,
we could talk
just,
about
that's
it.
That's not even all of it. So.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, I wish they hadn't given her an affair. I think it still fell into a couple of TV traps like that and the fucking binoculars. But other than that, excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Good. All right, we should do this more often. It's quite nice to just say.
I think we should definitely have a section that is all about. Just discussing the whole the aftermath of watching the show.
Yeah.
I think we might need that for Handmaid's Tale. I know there's some talk about doing that.
Yeah.
And I think
I've watched one episode, so I could be the guinea pig for that. So.
Oh, I think I'm through episode 5. I got behind a little bit, but
I'm about.
I've read that book as well. So.
Oh, I can't. I mean, that I'm gradually realizing that that's an incredibly dark comedy. And the more I see it as a comedy, the more I enjoy it. But until that point, I was just like, oh, my God, this is miserable. Oh, shit. I want to get out.
I think it really helps that Elizabeth Moss is playing it like it's a dark comedy, you know?
Yeah, well, there's some music choices. It's definitely a comedy. Yep. Anyway,
but there are a couple of times with her character, she's just like, this is ridiculous, you guys. Why are you doing this? This is dumb.
Right, let's get this on the list.
That's
for
another
couple of weeks then. Thank you for joining us. As ever, you can email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. Last week I suggested that we should make merchandise using quotes of things we've actually said. For example, Marcia on Frequency, it was something like, it really is great if you've got literally nothing else to watch. 5 stars. I think we could find
sometimes
some great
quotes. Sometimes you don't want a show to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. But literally nobody has emailed us as usual apart from Kyle there. So remember, our email box is always open and you will be heard. studio@theboxsetpod.com on any issue you like. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Adam. And
thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. See you next week. Yeah. Goodbye.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
What the?
No, you hang up.
All right.
No, you hang up.
Are we done? Are we clear?
Yeah. See ya.
What? Okay.
All right.
What are we doing next week? Sorry, just in case.
You have to ruin it. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. All right.